Dear ones, with the help of the Lord, desire that we would read together from Psalm 98 this morning. Psalm 98. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly shewed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved, this is the Lord's day. It's the day that he has made. We have chosen to come together, to rejoice in it. It's a day of grace. It's a day of salvation. And this psalm invites each of us to sing. To have a song within our hearts, and to remember the goodness of the Lord. As I read this psalm, there are many songs that come to my mind. I think of the chorus or the chorale at the end of 258 in our Zion's Harp, when it speaks of the Lord coming to judge. And the prayer at the end of this song is, O Lord, how shall I meet thee and welcome thee aright? With all the expressions of singing and the earth and the fullness thereof, proclaiming God's glory, how can I welcome thee in a right way, in an appropriate way, in a way that's fitting to thy glory? My spirit longs to greet thee. O thou my heart's delight. Grant thou that I may know thee, and filled with thy true grace, my soul may truly own thee, and worthily give praise. I want to be ready. And I want you to be ready. That our hearts would be ready for the Lord's return. That the rocks would not have to cry out, but that we would have a song in our hearts on this Lord's day for his goodness and his salvation. This psalm was the inspiration for a hymn that was written that we sing often at this time of year, Joy to the World. It's a song that we sing at this time of year, but this psalm and the intent of that song when it was originally written was to commemorate the second coming of our Lord. But as we gather together to worship the Lord. We are those who love his appearing, wherever it takes place. Apostle Paul ended one of his letters saying, I have fought the fight and I have kept the faith. And so from here on, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing, to all those who are hungering and thirsting for his appearance. And that's us. We love his appearing. We love to think of how Jesus Christ has come. Even as a babe in the manger. And if we would take some time to consider that, we would quickly acknowledge that we can't explain how this has come to pass. And we quickly recognize that God's ways are so much higher than our ways. That he is so much more loving than perhaps we had realized before. That he's capable of doing things that are beyond our comprehension. And this God who is so great, is he worthy of your trust and my trust? Yes, he is. That we would put our trust in him, the one who can do the things that we cannot, and to do the things that we cannot explain. We love his appearing, and we look forward to the return of the Lord, when all things, all the wrongs, all the injustices, everything that has been done wrong will be made right. We're longing for that. There is a responsibility and another side of that, that we are to be ready and not to be on the side of God's judgment when he comes. But the warning goes out today, and the offer of salvation and God's grace is provided so that we would not have to face that, and that we could be one with Christ, and when he comes, we would receive him with gladness, because we've been watching, because we've been listening, paying attention, and have been made ready and received from him. We love his appearing when we come together as a church. When two or three are gathered together in his name and he is present among us. And as we converse and we speak of the scriptures, we speak of the struggles that we are going through, someone offers a perspective and an experience of the Lord's goodness, of his truth that we needed to hear. And it sets us on the right path. And it spares us from pain when we listen to correction. And we're thankful. It brought blessing to our life. It relieves me of the suffering so that I can now be ready to serve and help someone else. Maybe two other people, and them two other people. And the blessing grows. We love Christ's appearing. We love that he is willing to be in our midst. And yes, he is. He's willing to be in our midst. He's willing to live in our hearts. He's willing to show us the truth. He's willing to shine the light. Wherever we can find Jesus Christ, we have reason to be thankful. Because we found life. We found the one who brings us joy. So we don't want to look at the world as the place where we do our work and where we toil, but where God is showing us his redemption, his goodness, his faithfulness, where he's showing us, don't keep your eyes on the things of this earth. They don't last, so look to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. We love his appearing. It's our prayer that he would be closer to us and with us at all times. The words of that hymn, Joy to the World, they're echoed in this psalm. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. We see the expressions of heaven and nature singing praise to the Lord. And this verse 6 about the King, let earth receive her King. He says, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord. And we could see with our mind's eye a grand entrance, and how fitting that the trumpets would be sounding to welcome a King who is coming to take his bride and coming for his kingdom, to be proclaimed Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. We see those words, the sea, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the floods and the hills. But it is not enough. Even the roaring of the sea and the majestic mountains that exist that strike awe and wonder at the creative genius of our God, it's not enough. He says, let that sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The world does bring some glory to God, and the heavens declare his handiwork. But all that dwell therein, all the people, all of us, he's longing for hearts of children to worship him and adore him. To say, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He wants to hear us. And the third verse of that song echoes back to what happened in Genesis. When God cursed the ground for Adam's sake, but Jesus, in his blessing, he reverses that curse. So the hymn writer writes, no more let sins or sorrows grow, or thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Jesus has come to bring a blessing. And that blessing is to be extended far as the curse is found. And there's no corner of this earth where you can go where you will not find the change and decay that distresses man's heart, the vanity, the grief, and the pain that our sin has brought. Our sin has broken up homes, has broken up lives, and causes the tears. And in each corner where that can be found, God desires that Christ's blessing would be made known and be declared, that he is able to redeem, that he is able to save while there is yet time, while there is yet grace. And so, even to those of you who are yet under that curse, the kindness and mercy of God is extended to you. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes his glories known. The glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. This is the Lord that is coming to judge the earth with righteousness, and he shall judge the world and the people with equity. And that is some of the thoughts that a hymn writer, as he reflected upon the words that are written here, was inspired to pen for our blessing and edification. There are many sermons that I remember in my life that have touched me, that have made an impact on me. But I would say that there have been many more songs that have stirred my heart. There are many more songs that if you pressed me to remember where I was and what they made me think and how they changed me, probably many more songs. And so David, when he's writing this psalm, he often had a song in his heart. He had something to express about God's goodness. And I wonder what David is writing about here. What great victory. You know, we read in the first three verses something about what David's reflecting on and the reason why he sings. He says that the Lord hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. How many times was David the recipient of the blessing of God fighting his battles for him? We remember the stories from Sunday school. The story of when David approached Goliath, the man of war and the champion from the Philistines who defied God and his armies. And David, this little shepherd boy, is going out to meet him with a sling and five smooth stones. What are his chances? Zero. But what David recognizes here is that the Lord does marvelous things, and it's his right hand and his holy arm that hath gotten him the victory. The battle is not ours, and the battle was not David's. He trusted the Lord. And the illustration that's given here of the arm of the Lord. There's some other prophecies that talk about that the Lord has laid bare his arm. Like a man that's about to do some work and he's rolling up his sleeves. He's getting ready for the task and he's not going to hold back. This is the defense and the help of the Lord that David knew. And he knew he didn't need to trust in himself. He says, "The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." That happened when David defeated Goliath. Nobody could question. Everyone knew it was open. It wasn't just a hidden blessing. God made it clear. Do not defy God and his armies. He can use even the weakest vessel to accomplish his purpose. The Lord has made known his salvation, and his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. We can make connection to today in how the Lord, he has made known his salvation to us through Jesus Christ. He declares plainly in his word that Jesus Christ has come and he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He has openly shown his love to you and to me by extending his hands upon a cruel cross that we could see without a shadow of a doubt his willingness to provide for our need. That should give us hope and confidence, beloved, that if God was not willing to even spare his own son for our sake, will he not also freely give us all things? Is there anything that the Lord would not provide that is needful and necessary and would help to preserve us until the time of his return? No, that he will never do. He's made his righteousness and his salvation known openly. And he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. God had made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who would later be named Israel. And David is reflecting upon that, and he's acknowledging God has not forgotten that he would show mercy to the house of Israel. There was another time in David's life when he received an answer as to whether he would build the temple or not. And he received a no. Not always the answer that you want to get from God for your request, but it was a no with a promise that his son would build the temple and that through his line, God would not forget the promise that he made to Abraham that all nations of the earth would be blessed. And so through David's line, Jesus Christ has come. And he rejoiced. He recognized that, you know, his life was just a short span of time in God's plan, and that God was talking about a promise that was afar off, and that he would die. He wouldn't be a part of this in his physical life. But he put his hope in God. He acknowledged that God is doing something so much more wonderful and miraculous with his house, with his family, rather than the temple that he just wanted to build with stones. And he acknowledged God's mercy and that God was not forgetting, but was keeping his promises. And we see that even today. As we look through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has not forgotten his mercy. God has not forgotten that promise to Abraham that all nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And Jesus Christ has come. And the word is going out to every nation to see the salvation of our God. And men of each and every tongue and nation are hearing the good news. The ends of the earth are hearing. And the time of the Lord's return is approaching. And we love it. We love that God's word always comes to pass. We see his faithfulness. It's a marvelous thing for a believer when we consider our Lord and our God and his faithfulness throughout time to the faithful men of old. And we know the stories. We could recite them by heart. We could remember them. But the command here is not just to remember, but to sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, how do we do that? How do you do that? To sing a new song of the marvels of God's work and of his salvation. Something that is not just a repetition of what you heard in Sunday school and the stories that you knew from the past, but something new. I would submit to you that you can learn this new song. You can learn the words and the lines of a song that expresses the newness of God's mercy when you take these stories that you know and you make them your own. That is something for each of us, brothers and sisters and friends alike, even the young man that knows the stories of David and sees the story of the hero that is conquering. That is not just an idle tale and something for you to memorize that you know facts and figures about how kings have reigned and what had happened. It's an invitation for you to put yourself in that story. What part are you playing? Are you David? Are you one of David's brothers that's sitting on the sidelines? What's going to happen to you if you propose to live in that way? Are you one of the Philistines? What will happen to you? Well, God has provided a story about what sort of thing will happen. When a young man puts his faith in God and trusts in him to the battles and the giants that are facing him, to the insurmountable odds that he cannot overcome on his own. Can that be your story? You're invited to taste and see. You're invited to taste and see what does happen when David trusts the Lord. What does happen to Abraham when he leaves his father's house and goes and follows God's command? When we take God's command seriously, dads, we become a blessing to our homes. We become a blessing to those who are around us. We're prepared to serve. We provide something to this earth that will live on and not just consume the things that we can enjoy. And then our life means something and it amounts to something. Well, that's what happened to Abraham. Could that happen to you? Could you be used in God's hands? The Old Testament says that the Lord is, his eyes are looking throughout all of the earth to see one who he can show himself strong through one whose heart is perfect towards him. And he still is. He's looking for a young man to use in a way that shows his strength. Apostle Paul felt that. And it wasn't an easy experience. I have to break it to you that Paul, in his hour of need, when he felt he called it a thorn in the flesh that was buffeting him. It was something that was beating him. It was not the comforts of his life that he found this blessing. It was in his infirmities that he realized, even though things are bad, even though life is hard, God's grace is sufficient for him. And God wants each of us to learn that lesson. We're not going to get rid of all of life's pain and all of life's struggle. But we need to find a solid rock upon which to build. We need to find the grace of God, the help of God. We find it when we give up of our own resources and our own abilities, our own confidence, and we trust in the Lord. We believe in Him so much that we change the way that we live and allow Him to make that change. We soften our hearts, let Him come in, and He does the work, and all praise and glory belongs to the Lord. So, young man, learn to sing a new song. Learn to make the stories of the Bible your own. Sisters and young ladies, you also have challenges that are before you. You have struggles that you face. And you're also in need of the Lord's help. And you also need a new song. There's an example in the New Testament that we can read in Luke chapter number 1, verse 47 to 56. I'd like to read a little bit about an example of a young lady that considered what was happening in her life and what God was bringing to her front door. Read of Mary. And when she expresses herself, as she reflects on the news that Jesus would be born and that the Lord is doing His work, the expression that she makes actually has a lot of connection to Psalm 98. A lot of the things that she says are similar, but this is her experience. And you have yours. You have your experience of the love of God that He entrusts you with, of the blessing and the kindness that He has shown to you, of the love that He wants you to nurture and to develop and to share with your siblings, with your family, with your children, with those that you love. So Mary, she exalted the Lord. And this is what she said. And as we read it, perhaps you can think of what your song will be. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. This is a new song that a young lady who is experiencing the message of God and the work of God in her life was recorded as a new song that she sang. It's my hope with the Lord's help that we would reflect on the goodness of God's salvation and that we would consider the song that we would like to sing. The things that we would like others to hear, may they be of the Lord, may they be of His goodness and grace, for He has done, truly done great things. Amen.
Before we go into benediction, I just want to remind those who are sitting in the back chairs there, just leave them there to minimize the noise. We will probably need them in the afternoon for singing anyway, so just leave them there, please. Brother was mentioning about the song. We were reading about the song, about the new song, that we're encouraged to learn and to sing. And as brother mentioned, that music or song combined, words combined with notes that might have many times better impact than just listening to a message. And even though we have many in the world that will sing different songs, let's focus on the spiritual songs, maybe those that bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. I think we're all witnesses that there are different motives for singing the song. It might be motives to show what I can do. There might be motive of challenge of the music. And there might be a motive, and hopefully a motive to only bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. And whichever motive we are using, it doesn't have to be meaningless. Because even if someone's singing song, not knowing the Christ, or not intending to bring glory and honor to Heavenly Father, we can still be touched by words, by music, by different things. I'm reminded of when brother mentioned about new song. Do we sing a new song? And what does that mean? Our song. We're encouraged to sing the song that we're part of, song of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, I just want to read three verses, 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word in thy even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is that word of faith which we preach or sing, that is, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Many times we sing a song. We confess. We confess the name of Jesus Christ, name of our Heavenly Father, who is the creator of everything. But if you don't believe it in our heart, if you're not part of that new song, dear ones, doesn't have much of a positive benefits for ourselves. We can listen to a song. We can like it. It might touch us. Hopefully it does. But if you are not part of that new song on this earth, as we heard in prayer, we can sing that new song, not only in heaven. We can start singing that new song here on earth. This is what God wants us to do. Bring our glory and honor to our Heavenly Father because we live it, not just because we sing it. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it's talking about what it means when we don't have faith or when we don't have love. We become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's about it. We might be heard, but we might not have any effect on anyone. And I believe the message this morning from the Holy Spirit is that Those of us who are saved, those of us who became brothers and sisters in Christ, who accepted the invitation, that we do not stop singing that new song. Because it will be more meaningful than we ever can even believe. With the God's help, not because of what we can do or how we can sing it. And for those who cannot sing that new song yet, you have an open invitation. Open invitation to come. To confess Jesus Christ with a faith in heart that He is the Son of God. May the Lord bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.